The information presented in this podcast is not intended for the treatment or prevention of disease or any medical condition, nor is a substitute for medical advice. The information contained here in this podcast reflects only the opinion of the author and presenter and is in no way considered required practice.
Welcome to Motivation and Muscle, the podcast that connects your brain to your brawn.
Motivation and Muscle streaming radio 24/7. Today is the 13th of July 2017. As I've been saying lately, we are the brass knuckles of radio, and I love that sound, brass knuckles. I've been doing this, I don't know, probably the last 5 days. I have the great Steve Cotter coming in with me shortly, and Steve, I'm sure, has heard this verbiage, and I'm sure he said it to himself. Now, I've been getting a lot of comments about this, and I know some people think a lot of this is bull. Well, I've been doing this now almost 2 weeks. Among many things, we've talked about reconstructing, deconstructing the mind, and I am doing mega things here that are doing amazing things with me. But two of the things, and I've been saying on the show, I tell people, stand up, take a deep breath, blow it out, and say, I am a winner, I am a champion. And I repeated that the other day over and over and over on the show. And you might even hear it during the middle of the show, and you're going to hear it at the end of the show. I'm telling you right now, those two lines, if you're repeating those things with feeling, and I don't mean to get ahead of yourself, you know, they talk about visualization, just kind of think it out in your head when you're saying it. You don't necessarily have to have the vision right there. You say that to yourself for 2 weeks. I really love to hear feedback, what's going on in your life. And I don't want to hear the stuff, it doesn't work. It does work with feeling. The thing is, what do you want to tell yourself? I'm nothing. I can't do it. This is all people hear all the time. You're not going to ever hear that here. And if you do hear it, we're going to give you the way to change it. So think about becoming a champion. Think about becoming a winner. As my dad said, be a leader, not a follower. You lead from the front, folks. But we're going to go into more of that down the road, believe me. Now, first thing, motivationmuscle.com/category/podcast. I'm going to find out. I keep saying it. I'm going to find it out by the weekend. I got to believe we're at 700 already. Go out and look at just the show Steve Cotter and I have done. Steve's been on here easily, well, at least a year and a half. I'd have to go back and look at our first show. Secondly, go out to FiorelloBarbellCo.com, the winner's circle. That's the product there. When you talk about having brass balls and putting things into action and taking real, genuine action in your life, this is 15 years of development I've had at the FBC Stone and Steel Yard. The first module is called The Beginning. The second one is called Getting Started. The third is Mental Fortitude. Number four is sandbag domination. Number five is heavy specialization with shoulder pressing and bent rows. Number six is passion for what you love. Number seven is hands-on training. Number eight is big, powerful arms. Number nine is high shrugs and the straight arm pullover. Number 10 is the return of the iron boots. Go out and look them up. York Barbell made them. I believe they were started in the 1930s. They're an incredible piece of hardware. Number 11, strong stone strength. Number 12 is love, passion, and my power rack. Now, when you buy this product, you get the 13th module free called Stewards of Strength / Gatekeepers. And you've heard me talk about Stewards of Strength at the end of the show. Five of the big points on this module are learning what the true definition of honor stands for, where have all the men gone, why you should test yourself constantly, why strength is the foundation of your life, and why not stand out, stand apart, and lead the world. Now, we have 8 for 8 of some of the best trainers in the world that have offered an hour of their time free when you buy the winner's circle. Number one, Martin Janzix, David Whitley, Douglas Graham, Dr. William Wong, Clint Darden, Paul Firepower Gray, Frank Delventhal, and Kirsten Tulick. So, look at the opportunity you have for greatness. It's time to take action, get off the fence, order the product, and we are going to be adding module on top of module to that. We've talked about some of the things I've been doing here at the FBC Stone and Steel Yard. There is tons and tons of new material to put on there, and I will do that in the near future. One of the things, though, I'll tell you right now, is everybody's talking video. Video's fine, but I've gone with the idea of education over everything, because an educated man or woman is going to be a better man or woman. And I'll tell you right now, when you're a knowledgeable person, you're always going to have the right answers. And if you want to impress yourself and others, especially if you're in a teaching capacity, you have to be educated. If you need video, we will do video. But the amount of hours on those 13 modules, you need to sit and really pay attention and play them over and over and over. Like my great teacher Frank Klein said, repetition, repetition, repetition. Now, contributions, huge. If you don't want to contribute the $25, $50, or $100, and we'll go over that, you can go out to my PayPal account, FiorelloBarbell@nicap.r.com. A week's worth of coffee, week's worth of, I don't know, raw milk, whatever. You know what I like here? You hear me talking about it? Lunch, dinner. Just go out there, FiorelloBarbell@nicap.r.com. Give whatever you'd like. But we really appreciate it right now. Things are tight, and we're growing like crazy. As I told Steve before we came on, and I said on the last show with Rick Brown, we broke our download record by over 3,600 downloads last month. Keep it up, folks. Keep telling everybody, because we want to reach a million listeners by the time all is said and done or more. Now, if you contribute $25, you will get the first module called The Beginning. And these are some of the highlights on it: obliterating obstacles, success manifested, overcoming roadblocks, and the power of optimism. Contribute $50, you'll get The Beginning, and you'll get a half hour free consultation with me, and I will not cut you off at $29.59 if we're not completed with everything. $100, that will get you The Beginning module, and you'll get 2 half-hour free consultations with me. And they're set up so easy. All you got to do is click the yellow button with the contribution you want to give. Goes right to PayPal. You don't have to do a damn thing other than fill it out, and you're set. So, you know, let's all become strength, valor, and character, and we will construct the foundation you need, and we will build the winning lessons and strategies here. So come on aboard. Help us out. We appreciate anything you can do, believe me. Well, like I said, we got our good friend Steve Cotter on here today, and I'm going to give you a little information on this gentleman. Let me just bring that up. Number one, he is the founder and director of the IKFF. He's a champion athlete, kettlebell trainer, martial arts trainer, and an expert in the human performance fields. And he's a hell of a speaker, as everybody knows, if you listen to Eminem. And I was just giving him the business a little bit. I mean, I call him like the jet setter. He's all over the world. And, you know, I've never met Steve in person, but I got to say I'm very proud to be associated with him, because this guy here, like so many others, really gives a damn. And there's a lot of posers out there, but we know he's not one of them. And Steve, with that, welcome back, my friend, my brother.
Appreciate it, brother. Thank you very much.
Anything I missed, obviously, websites, anything that's going on, lay it out. And we're going to talk about today longevity practices, which it could gravitate into anything, but we are going to start the show with this. So take it away, my friend.
Thank you very much. Yeah, that's pretty important. The longevity is something that I think a lot about in the context of my work. Mm-hmm. I'm still very active at my, I'm 47, and it's not a, you know, it, they say age is a number. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of validity to that.
Yep.
But we do notice the changes every decade, you know, so the common factor is we are all aging. And so developing strategies, really, that's I only talk about things that I know about in terms of from any position of expertise. And, you know, so it really just all comes down to my experience. Mm-hmm. I'm not someone that's going to come in and say this is the right or the only way. This is the one true way and you have to follow it or you're wrong. Mm-hmm. I don't come from that point of view. But I know what has worked and what does work for me, mm-hmm. you know, and so just developing strategies. I recently gave an interview on this topic and I started giving talks, not specifically on longevity. That's really a component of it. You know, so if we talk specifically about longevity, I always want to start with the mindset.
Okay.
Of course, you're going to very quickly come across diet, nutrition. You're going to come across exercise. Those are going to be factors that are thrown out there. And, you know, and they would definitely make my short list of topics. However, the mindset, because I've met people of varying ages, you know, 80 year old, actually just recently in Italy, down south near Rome. It's interesting, though. It's a definitely noteworthy little town called Latina, okay. which for historic buffs, Latina is the youngest city in Italy. And Latina was actually built by Mussolini in 1932. Okay. Wow. Yep. So not to go into a World War One, World War Two history, but for those that know, you can follow. So it's actually a young city, 1932 by Italian standards. And so I was in this city and I had the great privilege to have meals, you know, with an Italian family in Nonna, which is the grandmother. So if you know any of the legends about the Italian grandmothers in the old way that they know how to cook. And so, you know, and I'm particular because I'm vegan. So, you know, just putting the effort into the food, it's definitely something that was on my bucket list. I didn't even know it until it happened. And then I'm realized, like, you know what? Never in my wildest imaginations would have I thought that I would be invited to be served breakfast and lunch from a nonna. You know what I mean?
That's awesome.
So it's pretty amazing because that's like, you can't get more immersed in the Italian culture than that. Right.
Yep, absolutely.
So, but anyway, that's a little side note. So, you know, the nutrition, there's all these things. Anyway, but the thing about longevity, to get back to the topic at hand, mindset is really important. And I've met, you know, this Nonna was 80 years old, but she had this energy of like a young person, of a child. And I've met people in their 60s that are basically decrepit, and yep. they've already cashed in, basically, and they view themselves as old. And you know, and that's a far bigger factor than, because there's, you know, the story of the 100-year-old guy, the 90-year-old guy that smokes a cigar and drinks a whiskey, you know, whiskey every day, you know, and he lives out in the cabin out in the, you know, so there's all these examples of people that would defy convention, because convention's going to say you got to eat right and you got to live right, you know, but it doesn't account for the fact that there's very healthy people that don't live very long. And there's others that would seemingly have an unhealthy lifestyle, but they can live to be very old.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, and so it comes down to attitude, basically. It comes down to a youthfulness in a way and seeing yourself as young and the curiosity and something that is associated with youthfulness.
Without a doubt. I mean, I've talked about my grandmother before. She lived 108. Now, she didn't start she couldn't get around well anymore, but she started going down mentally probably the last 5 months, 4 months of her life. But, you know, this is someone that she lived up in Plattsburgh, New York, you know, very famous for the military airport up there and a few other things. It's a great small town to go when you're a kid because you could walk around there and never worry about anything. And the thing that was amazing, she was a big walker, not a big woman, but boy, plenty of fire. And to work as a nurse, any woman that does it, even males do it now, especially back in her day, I mean, you talk about physical work. I mean, this was, she loved it though. and she was very involved in a lot of things. She was a big-time churchgoer. But the thing that I realized most about her was just when Steve talks about mindset, she had beliefs and strength that was just absolutely incredible. And it had to be, she had friends up there, obviously, but she loved her grandkids, and we were the closest ones to her. And I know that she missed, especially she was very close to my mother. You know, I know it was very hard for her at times, but man, oh man, to live that type of life and to be a nurse till 76 years of age. And she'd come here, she wanted to do everything, man. I can remember kids, my friends, she'd be like a short order cook in the kitchen. I mean, boom, boom, boom. What do you want to eat? Whatever. I'm like, yeah. You know, right down to butter in your toast. She wouldn't let you do anything. And it was like, and my mother used to like, go in there and help you. And I was like, she doesn't want me in there. She would like us to just come in and talk to her. You know what I mean? It was just fun like that. And then you look at my father's side, which were all Italian. And when you talk about Nona, even back that it was long enough. I mean, I was a little kid, but a lot of the black garb on, the dresses in the kitchen, anybody that knows how Italians eat, the first
meal, oh my gosh,
the first meal is not your first meal. There's three more coming, guaranteed.
You get the antipasta, then the secondi,
everything. And you know, the big thing was they'd all be out playing cards in the back. And my grandfather, all of them, they all made, like, jug wine, and it used to be funny as hell. We used to laugh because...
And also the Italians, they changed the plates between meals. Like, but even in Europe, it's unique because, like, I was in Germany recently, and Germans basically eat the same as Americans. The difference is they have a higher standard of food. Their food is not as quite as corrupted.
Absolutely.
And they have a good organic. But in terms of they pile everything on a plate, like buffet style, you know, and that's in a very kind of an American way, you could say, of that's very common. That's the American way of eating. You just put, oh, that's good. Put a lump of that. You will never see that in Italy. It's like, okay, you have this and then you finish and then they clear the plate. They bring you a fresh setting. You know, so once you start to experience that, it's very difficult to
not want to do it. I mean, you know.
I
mean, those guys.
It takes into account the taste of foods and stuff. Like, you have to eat the food by itself to. You can't mix everything together because then you don't get to taste any of it. So
I mean, think about this. You go to their house, right? And you got a ham, you got a turkey. I'm like, God, this is going to be a great dinner. And, you know, you're not used to being around that. And there's always macaroni or meatballs or brujol or chicken done. And I'm like, holy cow, man. And as I said, you know, the men would be outside on the picnic tables playing cards and drinking the jug wine. And you're watching all this stuff go on, and it's wild, man. And it's this traditional thing that's going on. And, you know, we talk about longevity when you said, like, smoking and you know, whiskey or whatever, you know, and these guys will live in their 90s. My grandfather, I think, lived to 89, and he went totally against the grain. He used to drink two or three raw eggs every morning when he woke up. Now, you know, according to the world of cholesterol, he probably should have died 50 years before that. You know, Steve, there was
work for him and it worked for Rocky. So
it's work. I'm gonna give everybody a little hint. It's working for me too. Though I'm not eating the soy-based eggs or anything like that.
I wouldn't either.
No, I go to a farmer that I questioned about his whole feed and everything, and I can drink them. I've started drinking – I'm going through about four dozen eggs a day or a week now, but it's not just drinking them either. The thing is, if you've never done it and you want to try it, two things. Make sure you can roll them down your throat and stand over your kitchen sink, because more than once I've got caught, and guess what? Hopefully you haven't eaten much because it's all going to be laying in the sink if you do. So a big thing I've been doing right now is mixing them with raw milk and drinking them down. You just give it a little beat so you don't destroy the egg, and away it goes if you want to do it that way. And right now is the best time to drink raw milk, especially here on the East Coast. We are having rain day after rain day. Well, this has been like the best grass ever for the cattle like that, you know, who feed them that type of diet. So I go to a biodynamic farm. If you don't know about it, you should go look it up. It's very interesting how that all relates to everything you get from there. But yeah, going back to you, Steve. So, you know, we see this in cultures, and I mean, you're all over the planet, so you've seen much more than I have. And I you know what it is too, you know, when we talk about longevity, I used to love to listen to like my uncles and stuff, whether they are true or not. And there was only certain times you could go out with them because there was language and everything. They didn't want us hearing it. We probably had already heard it anyways. But to make a long story short, I think one great thing with longevity, especially when you're together with people you really love, it's the stories, man. I mean, you hear stuff about my father that he did. You know, my father never told us, like, I don't know, he got in some shit and he got hit by a car, right? And he went home, and I don't think there was anything really bad with him. My grandfather would have killed him, man. You know, and, you know, like in my family, with my grandfather, his father died early. They're all from the north end of Boston. I think there was 12 in my grandfather's family, and he had to go to work because his mother needed, you know, money to take care of the household. You know, they lived in an apartment, typically, like a lot of immigrants did. But yet, the most beautiful thing with this whole thing is each generation prospered more. Each one. And I think that is so important when we talk about longevity because, you know, the practices you live, how you are, and look, life to me is all how you live it. And, you know, you could say, well, it's a crapshoot because, you know, we all do pretty much good things with our body, but you never know. I mean, I've seen people that drink themselves to death, and I'm not saying they're in good shape, but they lived to 85 years old. How many long-distance runners we've seen even in a New York Marathon that run it and drop dead? All right,
the guy who wrote the book on running.
Yeah, he did. Right. Yeah, so you know what I mean? So go ahead and take it. But it's like
I agree with you. Yeah. I agree with what you're saying there. And another way of saying that is education because it's about passing real information, real – you know, education is not the same as information. You can have information without education, and it's very prevalent in this day and age when information is easy to come by.
Yeah.
Well, you know what correct information is not easy to come by, though.
No, it's not.
Correct information. You need information just to be in the correct position to be able to get the correct information because you have to know the questions to ask. You know, if you just go into Google and put whatever, it's only going to come up a very limited response based on the analytics and all the advertising, you know. So even in the age of Google, it does not solve the education conundrum. It's just more information. And so passing along life lessons, the example, what we, as you said, life is meant to be enjoyed and to be lived. So that's something where if you pass it on, the next generation should be able to take that. And as you said, each generation gets better. It grows and continues to develop. And that's how it ought to be, right?
Well, so, yeah, I think so. But
that is part of the longevity. That is part of the longevity because then it's, you know, not about one person. It's about a civilization in that way.
Totally. And you know what else, too? There's a big thing. The big thing right there, too, is this. When we talk about education, because right now there are so many uneducated. Let me put it this way. I'm going to try to put it in the nicest way possible. With all the information out there, I think there's less education now than ever. At least I'm speaking on my life right now, what I see, and I'll go back to Steve with that same question. And just because there's tons of stuff out there, that doesn't mean you're more educated and smarter. I think one of the best ways to get educated, besides finding mentors, being around people of high beliefs, expectations, you can label it any way you want, because I'm going to tell you from my point of view, I try to circle around people that are better than me. I want to learn from them. There's a number of people on the show that I talk to offline that have been in business for years. They love talking business with me. I learn a ton of stuff. I give them ideas. I pick their brain. and they have no problem with it. They're more than happy to help. That's number one. Number two, though, the biggest thing I think, and I'm going to say this till the day we go off the air, is this. You really got to get out there and bruise your knees, you know, hurt, or, you know, skin your knuckles, whatever you're going to do, and learn. Because learning comes not only from education, but self-education. And I am a big, big believer and proponent in that, because I got to tell you, I was telling Steve some of the stuff I've been doing, you know, offline with training. I don't think this is imagined either. I think in the last 4 months, I think I've learned more about myself and stones and weights and way to do things and way that some things don't work, but we can take pieces and incorporate them and put them into something else. I got to tell you right now, I mean, not only with the businesses and that, I mean, I feel like I'm really riding the crest of something big right now. Well, I know I am, but the training. See, the training for me is everything. I love the businesses. I want to grow them into multi-million-dollar businesses, which I'll do. But the foundation of everything, I say this would be the module, the nucleus of everything. Like, picture an octopus. It has tentacles coming off it. And all you see usually is that big, ugly eye in that head. And everything is reaching from there. Weightlifting and everything else associated with that, because I'm not going to get into every genre here, is my nucleus, is the thing that drives everything inward and then to outward. Because if you don't understand that everything comes from the inner you and you're looking for stimulation, which so many do from the outside, this is why you're butting your head against the wall. This is why when you're looking for ways to get better, or you want to maybe be able to just make it to the next day, you can't do it. And if you proceed in that fashion forever, yeah, maybe genetically you'll stick around, but you will not have the longevity, obviously, that you could have had if maybe you had done some of the things I said prior to this. Go ahead, Steve, take it.
There's some fundamental truths to what you're saying, especially with regard to the inner work. And, you know, you're describing your affinity for weightlifting.
Yep.
Because for you, it connects on that way, as for many people. In fact, we all have that common factor, which is why we're listening to this show. You know, it's about the training. It's about the, and few people are, you've entered into a quite a high level to where there's not a lot of guys, you know what I mean? But that doesn't happen overnight, right?
That's, oh,
you devoted,
right.
You devoted, and respect to you for that.
Thank you.
You know, my game is different, you know, and all roads lead to Rome in the proverbial, you know, there's more than one way. But the common factor in the training, we find it, and you said it's the inner, you know, and actually my perspective has changed. I no longer, because for a few years, I think I'm a few years older than you, possibly.
Yep.
It's not really important, but
no.
where I'm at now, at different times in my life, I had different views. Now how I describe it is I don't work out. I don't train.
Right.
I move. I move every day. And that's where I'm at with it. It's about the movement and devising different ways to, you know, I like to do the things I'm good at, but it's important to do the things I'm not good at.
Yes.
And whatever that may be, and it fits into the lifestyle, you know. So longevity ties into that also, because I'm you could say in the performing arts.
Yeah.
And in that way, it is an art. It's my art. It's how I do it. It's a performance, because if your business is revolving around that, if you don't perform, you don't have business.
Right.
Am I wrong?
No,
am I missing
wrong.
Something?
No.
So based on that, you know, along with that, it's like if someone's been playing for a long time, that if you're a hotshot kid and you're a rookie that comes in and you have all these natural talents, maybe it's baseball. The smart kid is going to figure out who's the older player that has been in the game, is still playing in their 40s, because that's the person that's going to really know a lot about how to be a professional.
Yeah.
Because you won't find a 40-something-year-old ball player that doesn't have a flexibility program strategy, doesn't have a nutrition strategy, doesn't have a set schedule in terms of what time they go to – you know what I mean?
Yeah,
everything's
going to
be very – and you hear about that in the team sports, but the same is true in any field, in any – you know. So for me, I've actually had to develop my own strategies for longevity, to be able to continue to perform at a high level, a very physical, and the, you know, the physical toll is different things. It's different things. It's sometimes if you're just lifting weight, you can see the weight itself. For me, also the travel of just going up and down in the air, you know what I mean? It takes a different kind of impact and dealing with the different foods. And since I have a strict guideline with which I, you know, there's times where there's not really any food choices. So definitely a lot of times on the road. Yep. I don't want to single out any country, but in China,
yeah.
It's really hard to find.
Yeah.
Like Shanghai is cool.
Yep.
There's people from all around the world are in that city, but in other places, I can go long periods of time without really having
food,
you know. So I come back. So of course I come back, I see my wife in Italy, then it's like, you know, it's time to eat.
Yeah. Manja.
So I put it on. Yeah. So I put on, all of a sudden I start bulking up and, you know, it's kind of funny, but, so I use it. It's kind of like not intentional, but it's like intermittent fasting. Certain countries, I can't really eat the food. So,
well, you know, it's like everything. I mean, I've been doing it a lot more now. And in some ways, you know, it's fasting, but I've been really cycling foods now again. Just playing trickery, you know. The eggs now, drinking them, we got a few more days, and that's done for a couple weeks, you know. And then I go to something else. I've been doing a lot of stuff, experimentation with coconut milk. Well, I want to put a few pounds on because I am going to I've got some other big goals that I want to put about 8 pounds of body weight on, see how I feel with it, work the living shit out of it, and see if it adds to what I want to lift. Now, this is what I'm trying to tell people. You know, people say, oh, God, you put weight on, you know, you're 40-plus years old, you know, you're going to drop dead. Well, you know something, folks? How many kids are we going to see, and adults and pro football players this time of year with the heat and whatever, they'll always have some correction that they drop dead. I don't think on those things. If you're going to live your life like that and worry about every stinking thing, your longevity is going to get cut by a third or half. I got news for you. You know, when you talk about the mental steps, and that it is just the most vital thing with everything you do, I mean, here in Albany today, I mean, I was saying this is the first year I have not put in a garden in. Why? We get downpours almost every other day. I've tilled it twice. It was ready for this week. It has rained constantly since Sunday night. I tilled it on Saturday with the idea I had like a half dozen plants because I never want to say I never put one in. But once again, it is extremely humid here. We've had downpours every day. I'm looking out the window right now. It looks like it's ready to let the sky wide open again. But I have to train tonight, and I have outside work to do. And unless it's thundering and lightning or a typhoon, I'm out there. All right? Now, a lot of people say to me, well, you know, you can get a summer cold. I was like, I didn't even think of that. Someone said that to me yesterday. I was like, summer cold. I was like, what the hell? Well, if you're out in that cold rain, I'm like, it's not cold rain. It's 91 degrees here with, like, I think the humidity's like at, you know, that dangerous shit where it's in the high 70s. It's like that rain feels like hot bath water when it's coming down on you, regardless how hard. Well, you know, you could do it another day. No, I can't do it another day, all right? If I was real sore.
People are concerned about you.
I know, and I thank them for that. I understand that, but like yourself.
They're concerned you might be getting too strong and too powerful.
They want me timid, that's all. But
yeah, I think you need to skip some workouts, son.
Yeah, it's time to sit down and grab a phone and text all night, my friend. Yeah, that ain't going to happen. I got news for you.
Join the devolution.
Yeah, the devolution and the zombie brigade. That's what it is. But like tonight, I'm going to go out. I was out testing it yesterday when I was out cooking out. I can't sit still. You know, I'm out there with the York Olympic bar. Got it set on the ground with a 25-kilo rubber bumper on each side with a collar. There I am with a clean grip. There I am doing the hack lift. And I'm like, this is going to be fun as hell tonight. I have no idea what I'm going to do. I haven't done a hack lift probably in 15 years. But it's another thing that goes into the stones. And we'll be playing around with the height shrugs and everything else tonight. I love it, all right? It's not going to matter. I'm going to go out and do it. I can wipe the York bar. It's already got gun oil on it. It's not going to rust up or anything. It's no disrespect to a fine, fine piece of bar there. But that's what I'm trying. I can hear right now when I'm talking to Steve. It's starting. You can hear the thunder rumbling. So the thing is here, okay? I think longevity spans just so many directions, but it spans from the mind, obviously. And it's all what you're thinking about, what you're going to do, how you interpret things. When things come at you like lightning and they knock you right off your feet, how are you going to handle it? How are you going to interpret this? And how are you going to take that incident and happen where it's telling you that now you have the ability to not only captivate it and overcome it, I mean, why go the other direction and say, oh, shit, you know, this happened, and I don't know what to do, and I'm going to wait. No. It's time to jump back up and go and do it. This is all longevity. This is all thinking. You know, we like to use the verbiage positive thinking. There's a lot to those two words. I know people say, oh, yeah, it doesn't work for me. I can't do it, you know, blah, blah, blah. You know what? You can't afford not to do it. That's what I'm telling you. You can't afford to not do it. And when I say to you, you know, people say to me, your energy, and, you know, you make me want to go train. And, you know, I'm driving home at night from work, from the hospital, and you say something funny, I almost drive off the road, you know. Well, if that's what moves you, if that's what gets you into that mind mold, as they say it, do it. Because your longevity, you know, I just look at things like this. I don't know how long I'm going to live. I would love to live to 150 years old, or as I say, 100 years old, do my last deadlift and fall down on the platform, and that's it, okay? To me, that's the way it is, because I'm never going to be a guy that's going to be able to sit with a drool cup under me. I'm just not that type. And I'd much rather go down in battle. I really would. But that's another thing I don't even think about right at the moment. But this is all part of longevity. This is all part of how you think. This is all part of how you do. Your relationships, we talk about that. Who's important to you? Maybe there's somebody in your life that it didn't go right with and you haven't talked to them in a long time. You know what? A real strong man or a strong woman doesn't even care about who's right or wrong there. If it's someone you really value in your life, you need to go talk to them. Because they've probably been wanting to do that with you, but they didn't have the balls to do that, okay? You need to do things like that. It's real important. I mean, love what you do. You know, tell people what you do. I mean, I know we like to stay very grounded and centered, but you know something? I'm not shy about any of it. You know, people come up to me in the outside world. I know I'm asking a question you hear, but you lift, right? And I'm like, yes. And if they're sincere about it, I could have a half-hour conversation with a stranger, and I might never meet him again. But this is the idea of things, to have pride in what you do, to teach people that you can live much longer than you think you can. You know, whether you want to go after a kettlebell, like with what Steve does, or the martial arts, or the sandbags, or the weights, or just, you know, one, as I say, 1 foot in front of the other, you're increasing your lifespan. And here's the thing I don't think people ever really talk about. Because there's so many unhappy people in the world, and they choose to be unhappy. When we're doing all these things we're talking about, I'm going to speak for me, and I'm going to give it right to Steve momentarily. When I'm out lifting, you know, when we're talking about the nucleus and how that lifting funnels into everything, I got to tell you, when I'm feeling like really like shitty or like I've had days in a row, the minute I step out in that battlefield outside, I've got a grin on my face from ear to ear, and normally that grin could last for 2 or 3 days with no problem, no exceptions at all. Now, you find something else that does that to you, please let me know. Go ahead, Steve.
I love the way you have a gift, a gift with words.
Thank you, sir.
The way you described the important things. Yeah, man, I think what you say I would call a philosophy, what you're talking about. It's
right.
Your beliefs.
Yep.
Education ties into that. I like to use the term worldview.
Yeah.
And, yeah, it's expansive. The nature of living things is to grow, so
yep.
It's expansive. And working on, you know, we have to work on ourselves. We have to, however somebody wants to try to, I don't know, the 1%,
yeah,
whatever,
yeah.
However you want to say it, right? So you try to improve as a human, as a functioning member of a larger society, which can include your family and, you know, important people, but also the society at large that you may have to interact with time and again. Even if you're a recluse, you know, periodically you may have to go outside to check your mail, stuff like that. So, you know, the finer art of interpersonal relations is definitely something that's there's definitely could be value in that type of – those type of classes. It seems like people are – well, we stick our face in these tablets and phones all the time, you know what I mean? So like talking.
Yep.
And it would be considered very rude still in certain cultures if you were just on your phone the whole time, like during dinner or during a meal.
I've been there.
You know.
Yep.
But you do see this happening more, so.
Yeah, and go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah, it's just, you know, it's just there's pros and cons depending on how we look at things. And, you know, technological advancement can be considered a positive, you know.
Yeah.
And at the same time, there's the side of it of what you give up
in exchange for what you get. You are, yeah. It's a beat down, too, mentally. I mean, and we've dumbed down the world. There's no doubt about it. That's why when we talk the way we talk today – there's no doubt about it. There's always going to be maybe that 1% you just said that are not going to buy into it fully. Obviously, you cannot help it and stay alive without having in business. I got no problem with it. But you know what? I've done a thing. It's very interesting. Andrew Carnegie. I've been reading a lot. Carnegie, I'm sorry. I've been reading an awful lot about, like, his endeavors with the steel industry and all that. Like him or not,
mm-hmm.
Very interesting stuff, especially you would think a guy like him worked 24 hours a day. Now, I don't know what his mind was doing, but 4 o'clock in the afternoon, he was wrapping it up. He'd go away for 2 months, don't bother me. And most people say, how the hell did he ever do it? It's just very interesting.
Well, Mellon, he had Mellon. Mellon was, I think, integral to the –
The formation
of U.S. Steel and the conglomeration.
Yep.
He had a very trusty number two in place that was able to set things up. You know, so that's like in the kettlebell world, you know, you can talk about Pavel, but you have to also mention John Duquesne, right?
Yep.
Just like
absolutely.
the two together. So without one, you probably never heard of the other. So
no, it works that way. Yeah. But you know what it was?
But Carnegie was the baron, right?
Correct.
The railroad baron.
But the steel baron. But what was so interesting is like, and I read, and there's been a lot of things I've been reading lately, and these points with business and things, because I'm always looking for something. You know, you could read one line and you're like, shit, I never thought of that, and I know it will work. And just the way his attitude was about things, and obviously having a number two there is definitely was essential to where he went and became. But I like the idea, and it's hard to do it, especially with a young businesses, but I've become now, well, I can't say that this week, but the last few weeks, I have shut the business down at 5 o'clock at night after working from 5 o'clock in the morning. This weekend I do have some podcasts, but normally I haven't even been doing weekend podcasts unless it's someone that I really want, you know, to do some stuff with. So I've been trying to take a little bit of this because I'll tell everybody out there, no matter how much you love what you do, you got to get away from it at least for a day. And that even means I don't turn my phone on because there's a number I have that if it's an emergency, they know how to get a hold of me. I don't even check my email or anything. Why? Because when I come back the next day, I can plug right in. And you need that break. I mean, you need the mental break, and people understand that. I want to read something, though, that's real interesting, and I know you'll appreciate it. And, folks, I read it one time. It says nothing to do about bragging about me. This is about Steve and everybody associated with me and the show and the family. Now, this gentleman, I'm only going to give his first name, is Paul, and he's a stone lifter. And he's a mutual friend of Charlie Oliphant from Scotland and mine. And I want to read something, and this is what's happening with Eminem and everybody associated with it. It says, "Hey, Eric, just want to say the last few solo shows." Now, I've been doing some solo shows lately because I was getting emails from people saying, "How come you never do solos anymore? We loved them." Well, I wasn't doing them because I'm doing 15 a week there, and I was like, I'm not doing any more shows. All right. So, you have been pure dynamite, he says. They should have a warning attached to them. Do not listen unless you are able to lift in the next 30 minutes. Truly awesome stuff. I got so fired up training after listening, I smashed my oak barrel lifting atlas with his atlas stones. Have had to adapt an old oil tank at the back of the garden and pack a tire with sandbags up to 53 inches height. That's 1 inch higher than Charlie's barrels for the Ard Blair stones. But then, that's what champions do, don't they? They adapt, they overcome, and they will not be denied reaching their goals. Thanks for your inspirational call out to be the champions we can all be. Stay strong in every way, Paul. Now, why am I reading that in the middle of our show here? Because this all goes and pushes to what we're talking about with longevity. Paul, obviously, there's been a chord struck in him that there probably hadn't been before. Oh, yeah, maybe he was doing the lifting. I know he has. Going through the motions, but maybe it just wasn't resonating with him the way it is now. And the reason why that is because now all these people in our family, in our community, with all of the people on the show, me, my family, like Steve here, we're all together now. See, it's great to be doing your own thing, but you're not going to get too far with that, all right? Especially if you want to work together and you have these massive goals. As I say, like the great Ronnie Dio used to say when he sang for Black Sabbath is, we are legion. We are legion. We are an army. I don't care if you like the army or not. It's a word. And when you talk about those things and you get fired up, because right now I am extremely fired up. I could start yelling right now. I'm so fired up. You know, in 5 hours, I'm going to be out in the FBC Stone and Steel Yard. And you know what? This is what I want to get through to everybody. And Steve, I'll go right to you. How many more opportunities are you going to have in your life to be great? You should think about that a little bit. How many? 100? 50? 1? And every time you go out and do something to promote your longevity, to promote your spirit, to promote all those mental things that you're going through, that tenacity like a pit bull to grab hold and not let go of it. Not let go of it. You know, like Steve Jack said with the Husafell stone, I'll never forget it. You know, it's like a girlfriend. You wrap your arms around that stone and you wrap your arms around eternity. There's a lot to it. There's more to just a kettlebell piece of steel, to a stone, to a sandbag, to a power rack, to a barbell. You attach to that, folks. And that's a living, vibrating being. And you can think I'm out of my mind, but I'm not. I'm telling you right now, they all vibrate. And when you go out and I always try to shake hands with them initially, but I'm there to kill them. And they're there to kill me. I win, I lose. I win, I lose. Sometimes I even cry, man. But cry in rage it is. Because I'm so upset that I didn't meet what I had to meet that night. And I take things so serious. Not in a way where you don't have a good time with it. Because that's not the point. But I'm thinking to myself a lot. Every time, you know, you miss a workout, which I rarely do. Or you don't give the best you can for that night. You can't get it back. Do you understand that? You can't get that day back. Go ahead, Steve, because I could go on forever.
I think what you're saying, Eric, is that there's not a lot of time to waste.
Correct.
And I agree with you. I agree with you on that.
What did you think? I mean, that was a pretty nice note by Paul, man. I mean,
That's right up your alley, man. I'm sure that had to tickle you, and I'm sure it is very sincere. I can tell.
Yeah, and that's one
of the reasons why you're doing what you do. You know, thanks. That's one of the reasons why you keep this show going, because Paul's not the only guy out there.
No, and I normally don't read these, Steve, because I don't want people to say, "Oh, you got a big head." It has nothing to do with that. I don't look. It's nice to get compliments, believe me, and I think everybody should be complimented on what they do, especially when they do it above and beyond. But that's not the reason. The reason is, like Paul and many other people that have sent me notes or called me, it's done things in their life that obviously needed to be fulfilled. And now, for some reason, they've turned that corner and they're doing whatever. You know, you hear them say, well, that's the sign of a champion. That's why we do what we do. You know, adapt. Well, that is life. Life is adapting. Life is saying, okay, I got a curveball at 102 miles an hour. I can't hit it right now, but I am going to hit it. And, you know, if you want to live a long life, if you want to live a long, happy, productive life, you know, I'll tell you what I say in the morning, the minute I get up. I say every morning multiple times, because I feel the first 5 to 15 minutes when you wake up, your mind is like a sponge. So if you're feeding it with radio and TV and internet, you're dead as a horse, man. Dead. I say every morning, I am full of the joy of living. Repeat that to yourself for 15 minutes. Life's gonna change.
Very powerful.
Yeah, very powerful.
Very powerful.
And you know, when I talked about in a show where I say I'm a winner, I'm a champion, where do you think you're going to go with that type of verbiage? You're not going to go down the proverbial shit pipe. I got news for you. You're going to rise above. You're going to be the cream in the coffee. You're going to be the one eventually that people are going to take notice of. You're going to be the one that's not going to be afraid to say, you know what? This job was okay for the last 20 years, but I've been wanting to do this, and I'm going after it. And I am not kidding you when I say it. I don't remember where I heard this, and I'll go right to you, Steve, is this. I don't know what I was listening to one time, and it stuck in my mind big time. They said, take a walk through a cemetery and listen to all the voices that are saying, I wish I did this, but there wasn't enough time. Don't be one of them. Don't wait till the day you're laying in your deathbed or something has happened to you to finally say, you know something, this is what I wanted to do. And I didn't do it because people said, you know, why would you waste your time, or I didn't have the confidence or what. I jumped out on a limb, like I'm sure Steve did and so many other people that are affiliated with the family here. You can be very uncomfortable sometimes, man, especially when you don't know where your next coin is coming from. But as Steve has said to me today, and you've heard him on the show, and I say to myself, we keep moving. Because if you stop, you rust. And the thing is, I'm going to tell everybody, and I've said this, and you need to be reminded of this. When you commit, that's a very important word, commit, there's no going back. None. I'm telling you right now, you could want to go back to what you were doing. Maybe you get in that position if you're truly committed to your lifelong dream. I'd say you'd probably be lucky if you lasted an hour doing what you had previously done. You'd be packing your bags and leaving and walking out the door. Go ahead, Steve. It's yours.
You're very focused.
Yeah.
You're very focused. That's powerful. What you're saying is absolute truth. And, yeah, do it. I mean, just do your thing. There's no other way. I don't really you know that I understand where you're coming from. You're saying that. You know, I think about, what is it that I need to do? What is it I not so much need, but what do I choose to do? And what am I doing? So, and then do it. So it's not, I mean, we're here to be uncomfortable a lot of times. It's not here just for comfort. Like discomfort is good. Pain is Pain is good. Pain is the friend. Pain is a teacher. And it's not good for us to keep any one position for prolonged periods of time. You know what I mean? Just like you can say, oh, sitting for too long isn't good for your back. Well, standing for too long also isn't. And, you know, doing anything too much. But we are dynamic creatures. So it is part of our inherent being to move, you know, to be active. And even if we don't have the gift of movement with the body, even in the cases, there's still the movement. There's the dynamic movement of the cellular materials, you know, the electrical impulses. So everything's moving all the time, not just what we can perceive with our eyes. And so our nature is to move, and basically what you're saying, it's basically to take action. It's basically to, again, it comes, as you said before, it comes down to the beliefs. It comes down to the education. I call it philosophy, worldview, belief. Because if someone, it's not a matter as if you can or cannot. It's a matter as if you will or will not. Because if you say that you can't, it's because you won't. And if you say that you can, you can. And really the difference is how badly, how much you actually would want something. And a lot of times people end up not really wanting the thing that they think they want. They think they want something, but they really don't want it.
You're
and
right.
They're just not aware enough to recognize that, you know, I didn't want that. So I gave up real early on. Or after I went through the steps a little bit to kind of lie to myself and pretend like but actually I didn't want it. You know, it's like people have different motivations. For some people, winning a trophy is important. For you, there's not going to be anyone giving you a ribbon when you accomplish your goal. You're out there in the wilderness, right, just with a few small people as witness. But, you know, there's different motivations.
Steve, I like that, being out there. You know, I don't need a cheering section because, you know, you and I both know when you're at that level, everybody to your left, right, middle, back, they're a blur to you. And the same way with
you're
the
doing
boys.
It.
Yeah, you're doing it. It's not there. But I want to ask you this, and I know we're getting near time. Tell everybody out there, I mean, I'll come back after you. If you haven't experienced this, tell everybody about the excitement that you have when you're doing things that you really love to do, and you know that everything you're doing is to live longer and help others and get better, and however you clarify, you know, like you said, well, another birthday, you know, sometimes we make some changes because we have to, or there's other things I want to do and I'm going to know.
I call it purpose.
I call it purpose.
Because I know who I am. At that moment, I know who I am, and I know what I'm doing and why I'm doing it. And it's a flow. Yeah. It's a flow. It's the way things have always been, the way things were always going to be, and the things that maybe in another time you would have called it a dream. And actually, it's simply living in accordance, living in alignment with your true nature. And it goes back to what you said earlier. There's many words that can, just to say the one word is the in. You talked about the inner, the work, the inner work. And that's really it, because the inner work is where we dig to find the answer to that fundamental question, which is, who am I?
Right.
And why am, what am I here for? What am I doing? What am I here to do? And so that's how I describe it. It's, you're doing that, and it can take different settings. You know, a lot of times it's professional, but it doesn't have to be professional. It also can extend into interpersonal, you know, the tantric, if you will, where there's a sharing, a bonding of two people, and masculine, feminine, no offense. I'm not trying to exclude anybody. I'm just saying what the traditional, you know, it's a exchange, a polar opposites type of deal. So it can, this being in the zone, you know, being in that, you know, and it's like as a human being, we want to, maybe we can be really good at one thing and then we trip over. It's like I can walk out all around town on my hands, but then I have two left feet and I trip when I try to stand on my, you know, so specializations, so we can be really in the zone in one area. And then all of a sudden now you fell out of the zone and you're dealing with, you got a car payment due.
Absolutely.
Whatever. So, you know, it takes a lot more work to have the entire thing dialed in, right?
Yep.
Those are the, there's the masters and then there's the masters of the masters.
Without a doubt.
You're not going to meet too many of those people. And if you have a chance to meet them, for sure take notes. Like, as you talk about mentors and, you know, I know my limits. I have a good idea what I'm good at least some of the things, you know what I mean? But it's less easy to see maybe what our deficiencies or weaknesses are, you know?
Absolutely.
But the main thing is not beat ourselves up when we find them. It's like, oh, I'm a failure. You know, I feel so much shame, so much guilt because my family or this and that. And, you know, that's ridiculous too. That's all just basically, here's the deal. It's a matrix. You could call it that. We're in this super sophisticated computer and basically there's programs being run. And once you find out about the programs, you realize that if you, maybe you had a certain program and you're not getting the right output. So you actually can stop running the program. You stop running the program and you put in a new program. And that's the secret right there. So you can put in the program and that's, you know, that's what the motivation's about. That's what the muscle's about because it takes work.
Yes.
You got to get up and move. You can't sit and think about it. You know, if you're going to sit, you should sit and not think. And then when you're thinking, you need to be moving. That's the difference. People want to sit and think and then move and not think.
And
instead, they got it backwards.
Absolutely. Summarize anything you want. Give out all your information.
You know, just great to be on here. And the end of it, you know, longevity for me, it's just about having an attitude, positive attitude, you know, and as you said, beliefs.
Yeah, belief system is everything.
As I call it, a worldview, you know, no limit. Yeah. There's no limits.
No.
There's no limits, and you don't have to be old when you reach a certain age. You don't have to be broken when you reach a certain age, and you can basically maintain this health and longevity. You know, there's a lot of techniques. We didn't get into that in this. Maybe next time we come back, I'll get into techniques that I use. You know, there's things about breathing. There's things with meditation. There's nutrition.
Yep.
There's rest. There's movement. A lot of components. But I would say the mindset is really the more important because that informs all the rest.
It's so imperative. You got anything else, brother?
Oh, man. Not really, man. Everything's, you know, like anybody can hit me up anytime. Like you guys know how to get a hold of me. So shoot me an email, hit me on Instagram, send a message, you know, reach out. Maybe I can help you with something.
Awesome.
That's what I'm here for.
Yes,
you know,
sir.
Other than that, I just keep moving. Right now I'm on rest, but, you know, I move around a lot. So for me, I get on the podcast when I'm between tours, you know.
Absolutely. Like, absolutely.
So,
hey, it's good.
I'm
you can come back.
Some
right.
days off.
Some R&R. Yeah. It's well deserved.
Exactly.
All right. So. This is Motivation Muscle, streaming radio 24/7. Go out to FiorelloBarbellCo.com, the Winner's Circle. We talked about that. 13 modules to change your life. Also, you get the 8 for 8. You get 8 of the greatest people in the world. That'll give you an hour free of their time when you purchase the product. Go out to MotivationMuscle.com, also /category/podcast. Just look at all the shows Steve and I have done. Also, too, don't forget about contributions. The PayPal, right there, it's got the price, the 25, the 50, and the 100. You can click that. It'll take you right to my account. If you want to just give, like I said, a week's worth of raw milk, it doesn't matter. You can go out to PayPal at FiorelloBarbell@NICAP.R.com, and anything you want to contribute to the company would be much, much appreciated. Also, too, we'll start with this. It's much better. If you'd like us to do a show, Steve and I, a particular one, FiorelloBarbell@NICAP.R.com. Also, go out to... it's called Apple now. It's not iTunes, they call it anymore. It's Apple and Stitcher. Give us a 5-star review. Anything, you know, that's what we've got. We appreciate it. That's the top review. Go out to AHA, which is AHA. That's getting Motivation Muscle streaming radio 24/7 in your car all the time. Also, too, if someone seeks you out in the gym or the concrete jungle, 5 words, I'm telling you right now, will change your life to inspire people. What can I tell you? It's your obligation to do that if you can do it. Believe me. As my mom said when we were kids, never be afraid to say hello to someone or give them a smile. That might be all they get that day. If you're going to lift it, bend it, break it, twist it, press it, pull it, squat it, and if you're going to lift stones, turn them into dust. As the great Hoos of Steel Stone Crusher says in Blood Red, domination, we are domination. We don't clear cut the path. Well, we do clear cut the path. We don't follow anyone's. Dominate, obliterate, and dent everything in your path. No one will ever clip our balls. And as Russell Fur says, when he listens to our shows, it's testosterone dripping out of the speakers. That's a given here. That'll never change. You don't have to go out and prove anything. It's just men know how to talk with one another. You know, when anybody I speak to on the show, man or woman, the conversation is just spectacular. And no actors, no portrayers, just the real deal, and that's what you get here. Frank Klein, my greatest college professor for business, repetition, repetition, repetition. My dad, be a leader, not a follower. My good, good pal, miss him big time, almost 3 years to his death, John Ridge, my chiropractor. He died of cancer. He would walk every patient to the door. And think about this on your worst day or your best day, and he would say, keep smiling. You will smile from ear to ear. Believe me, I've said those two words so many times, and it must be John is on my wing, because it seems if something goes, those two words pop into my head all the time. You'd be surprised what that will do to you. It gets your attention off it momentarily. Keep doing it, and you'll get the solution quick. And believe me when I tell you that. Also, too, be a steward of strength. Don't stand on the side of the road and watch the world go by. Tell 100 or more of your friends we're coming, because we're not going to knock on your door. I think we're just going to blow the roof off your house. Join the family. Join the revolution. And as the great Les Brown says, you all have greatness in you, but we take it 2 steps further. We believe in you, and we got your back. And I don't know many people that would do that in today's day and age. Steve, it's always an honor to have you on. I enjoy our conversations. You've been a great friend to me and the business, and I look to 30 more years, my friend.
As well. Thank you very much. Always a pleasure.
Yes, sir, it is. So, for Steve Cotter, this is Eric Fiorello. We will have Steve on next month. But before I get off, I'm going to say the two lines again to you until you're sick of it. I am a winner, and I am a champion. Think about that. Life is asking you to join. Join it, and as I say, 2 other things. If you don't have any balls, go out and grab a set. It's time, men, to become men again. And I mean by leadership, as my dad says, very important. There's a lot of people out there depending on us. Lead. Thanks for listening, everyone. Have a great week.
Thanks so much for listening to Motivation and Muscle, the podcast that connected your brain to your brawn. We'll see you next time.